to an all Odell Beckham Jr. edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by our beat writer, Paul Hoynes. Paul, Odell's arrival is the talk of the town. How shocked were you that the Browns pulled this off?
I couldn't believe it. All I was doing was, I was listening on radio, talk radio, and all they were doing was talking about it like for 2 weeks. I said, what is going on here? They want this guy that bad, and all of a sudden it happened. I was like, pinching myself.
So you weren't running and screaming down the streets of Menor like the kid from Shaker Heights that got the police called on him because he was so happy. That I thought that was the best story to come out of this was national news that somebody called the cops on a kid who was just happy about Odell.
I liked it that this guy is suddenly the best receiver in Browns history. I mean, they never heard of Paul Warfield or Ozzie Newsome?
Much better than Andre Rison, correct? It's got to be a much, much better trade.
Dante Lavelli, I'm just like, people are crazy, man.
But this, the point you make is, yes, it's the talk of the town. You turn on the radio, everybody's talking about it. Never mind the three-time defending AL Central Division champion team that's getting ready to open its season playing out in Arizona. And that's where we pick up with the Cleveland Indians. The other big news, I guess, today, the announcement for Major League Baseball. Sweeping changes. We've got dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. Pitchers are only going to be allowed to pitch to certain bats. It's craziness all over the place. Paul, what do you make of these rules changes? And could you imagine yourself being in the room when Terry Francona found out that next year he's going to have to wait three batters to make a pitching change? Do you think you can repeat what you would have heard Tito's reaction being?
No, I can't. I was just listening to Tito's morning press conference from Goodyear. And he was thankful that the three batter rule doesn't go into effect until next year. And he was saying, hopefully, you know, people can voice enough concern where they change it. But it doesn't seem, you know, I think he might be shouting into the wind here. But it is, you know, the left on left guys, you know, they better cash their paycheck this year because they might be out of a job next season.
You've got a loogie, a left-handed only relief guy, like an Oliver Perez. Signed him to a one-year deal, and you know that might be the indicator right there that things are changing for a guy like Oliver. When your job is to come in and get one guy, and now you've got to stay on for the next two.
Yeah, and you know, Francona was talking about. I guess they were playing San Diego a few days ago, and they had Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado, you know, hitting back-to-back. And he said, if I'm facing those two guys in the seventh inning, I'm going, you know, Perez, Simber to face those guys. And now he can't do that. And a big part of the strategy of managing a bullpen is gone. And I just don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. And, you know, is this really necessary to speed up the game? Is this what people want to see? Do they want to see a guy, you know, one reliever come in there and face, you know, face a guy, face a lefty and a righty and a right, you know, I mean, the whole strategy of left on left and matchup is out the window.
Yeah, I don't think a game in mid-June where, you know, it's not really going to impact the standings all that much. Why mess with baseball in that way and change things around so that game in particular gets sped up? I millennials have just ruined everything. I can't.
Is Manfred a millennial?
No, but he's so in love with their money that he has to bend to their will and make it make baseball a video game for Christmas sake. It really does touch the fabric of the game when you're talking about, and in the press release that MLB put out, they talk about having to go in and make changes to rule 501c, whatever the specific rule was about relief pitching. They have to actually amend the rules of baseball for this. And that's what really you're talking about, a rule that's been in place for over 100 years, and you're going to change that. And it blows my mind that you're going to do that so that you can squeeze dollars out of millennials. And that's the whole reason.
Yeah. If you read that rule, Joe, the minimum number of batters for pitchers, it says that the commissioner, you know, he has implemented that rule. He has changed that rule, and he has, you know, made it so a guy has to face at least three hitters unless it's the last out of an inning. Mm-hmm. And the Players Association has agreed not to grieve or otherwise challenge, you know, this implementation. And it's interesting because I just can't see the Players Association agreeing to that and costing some of their members jobs or potentially jobs.
But, you know, some of their members are going to be cost or are going to, it's going to cost them jobs. But then in order to, the reason that they're not grieving that is to get other things put in, like the roster expansion the following year.
Yeah.
So you have the 26th man. So, I mean, there's your give and take right there. And yes, the small number of left-handed only relievers who are there to get one guy out that make up the players union might be vocal in their opposition. But the aging DH or outfielder who gets a 26th spot on the roster, you know, there's plenty of guys who will benefit from that make up the union's membership. That sort of that give and take is why this is probably going into effect.
Yeah, and what do you think about this? Is also a rule for next year, the elimination of the 40-man active roster limit in September, and all clubs, you know, must carry 28 players on the active roster.
Well, they're obviously listening to the Baseball Writers Association of America membership that does not want to sit through 5-hour September baseball games when you're trotting out there, you know, five relievers in a row and extending games that way. Hey, I got no problem with it. And that's an idea that Francona was throwing out there about having, you know, the NBA has a 15-man roster, but a 12-man active roster for those nights. Call up, you know, as many guys as you want, but only have that 28 guys active for that night. I think that's a fantastic rule. And that also changes strategy, especially in pennant race situations where you're going down the line and, you know, you want to be able to carry a certain number of pitchers, but that number is going to be determined by a joint committee or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I think it makes it really levels the playing field, you know, because I can remember, you know, years when, you know, the Indians would be playing a team in September. This is when the Indians, a long time ago, the Indians would, you know, had, you know, were counting pennies and hadn't called up, you know, like they may have been playing with 28, 29, 30 guys, and the other team had their full roster, and mm-hmm. It just looked like, you know, the Indians were getting worn out. You know, their players were tired. It was September, middle of September, and, you know, they're kind of getting run off the field, and it was just sheer numbers. And now, you know, it certainly makes it more competitive, especially for contending teams. You know, Francona, I think, a few years ago, when his last 2009, maybe 2008, his last year in Boston, he lost that last game of the season against Baltimore, cost him a postseason spot. And, you know, the Orioles ran out a pitcher. I think they had a pitcher for a hitter for the last two or three innings. And, you know, they just kind of outnumbered them. And this can't that way, this won't be able to happen, you know, now or in 2020. I mean, the team that you clinched with is the team that's going to have to finish the season with, or perhaps, you know, you haven't even clinched in September yet.
Right. And it also makes you sort of put together your team earlier in the season and the guys you want to go with earlier in the year to get to that clinching point. Also, you know, the last couple of years, the Indians have clinched relatively early in September. And if you've got, you know, 30 or, you know, 35 guys in the clubhouse, you've called up all these young guys and they're getting into a situation where, you know, they might play, but another team that's in a competitive race, you can't call up 30 guys and just have young guys sitting there on the bench and not getting into games. That doesn't benefit anybody. So, you know, not having that allowance will help as well.
Yeah, and another rule. This rule goes into effect this year. You know, taking away the August 31st waiver deadline, and just making one deadline in baseball. It's July 31st, and after that, you know, I guess you can claim a player on outright waivers, maybe. But you've got to make your deals then. And I think that. Joe, to me, that hurts a team like the Indians. I really think they, you know, Antonetti and Chernoff and Carter Hawkins and all those guys in the front office do a great job when it comes to, analyzing trade possibilities. And I think, you know, if they don't get what they want on July 31st, it was always August 31st to fall back on. And I really think that hurts a team like the Indians. I know I guess from reading different stories, the players wanted this. They wanted to. They felt like they wanted to protect the integrity of the regular season. They wanted players to have more stability, and they only wanted the one trading deadline. But I really think that was kind of the unique thing for me about baseball. It kept things. You know, in August, you didn't know if you were out of it or not, or if you wanted to dump payroll, if you were in that mode, you could still do that. So it's, you know, I'm not sure I agree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's a good rule.
Well, Coco Crisp in 2016, Jay Bruce in 2017, and, you know, for what he was worth, Josh Donaldson last year in 2018. Those were all moves, and at least the first two had impacts, but –
I think, you know, even going back, I think, you know, I want to say Bip Roberts was one of those guys that kind of helped, the Indians when they got to the series in,
1997.
And, of course, he missed game 7, Hargrove said, with flu-like symptoms of the World Series, but he helped, and I want to say – I might be wrong on this Kevin Seitzer.
Kevin Seitzer, that was the one I was going to bring up, was Kevin Seitzer. I don't know if he was a waiver deal or not, but, you know, he was definitely on the club.
Yeah, and he was a good hitter. He helped. And I wrote something today that said, you know, if you're a manager, you want your best hitters to get as many swings as possible in a game. And I think the Indians have an advantage in their front office. And I think you want those guys trying to make as many deals as you can. And the deadline really kind of, you know, takes an opportunity away from them.
The other additions, they did cut down the number of mound visits from 6 to 5. I don't really see that as being
I stopped counting last year when they reduced it to 6. It didn't seem like it was that big a deal. I mean, I think they've worked out hand signals, a catcher and the pitcher, you know, if the pitcher's standing at the plate, I think that was something you didn't even notice.
The Indians came close to ever being at the limit during the season. They might have come, you know, once or twice, but, you know, it was nothing. Now, they also brought in the time between innings will be cut from 2 minutes and 5 seconds to straight 2 minutes for local games, and 2:25 to 2 minutes. They're cutting a full 25 seconds off for national games. So everything will be 2 minutes universally between innings.
Yeah, I like Joe. I like how they added that upon negotiations with our broadcast partners. So, you know, if those guys, if the networks aren't getting enough time for advertising, I wonder how strictly that'll be enforced.
Well, and that goes for, you know, you're talking TV and radio. So that's a lot of factors to bring in there. But, you know, it's worth noting and bringing up, you know, last year, early in the season, when the Indians were playing at home and there were so many of those games that were played in rather chilly temperatures, and you've got pitchers who need a couple of extra pitches to get loose and throw. I believe the Indians lost a game. Trevor Bauer was pitching, and he gave up a home run on the first pitch of an inning, and they lost 1-0 to Kansas City. And he came in, and you know, it seemed at the time like he was just whining and complaining about, you know, making a mistake pitch. But then he explained, it's like, hey, first pitch of an inning, and I didn't, you know, have the feel for it that I normally would if I had had time to throw, you know, a couple more pitches. But, you know, Rob Manfred wants us to start in 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Well, now it's 2 minutes and 2 seconds, or 2 minutes even.
You better get those 8 warm-up pitches in fast if you're between innings.
Yeah. I can imagine that Trevor's not too pleased about hearing that, especially in early season, cold weather Cleveland games. And the Indians open in Minnesota and then go right to Cleveland. I mean, it's and then they play in Detroit. So,
yeah.
I mean.
Bring your long johns.
Jeez. I do not like typing with cold fingers, so that's going to be interesting. Other changes, other rules that are being implemented. A couple of them have to do with the All-Star game, which is coming to Cleveland, and this is going to be interesting and it might impact the Indians in that way. The voting process, as we mentioned and discussed before, there will be an election day with the 3 finalists at each position, and fans will have 1 day to vote for a starter. And what do you think of that change?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's okay. I have no problem with it. I'm wondering, they say now there's a bonus. What, somebody gets an all-star game bonus if you're, you know, one of the top three vote getters.
Yes.
Now I'm wondering if that, you know, everybody had, all players have a all-star clause, an all-star bonus clause in their contract. I wonder if this is on top of that.
That's got to be league-wide if they're expanding it to 3 finalists. That, you know, there's got to be a pool of money that they're going to distribute to each of the finalists.
So
Jose Ramirez has an escalator clause for becoming an all-star again this year,
right?
You know, he gets that money, that's got to be on top of his
contractual
bonus
incentive package, I would think, because some guys, they're making like $100,000 if they get picked for the all-star game, and if they make it as a starter, or if they're, you know, selected by their peers, or, you know, so it's interesting. I found that interesting. I found, you know, the home run derby, they increased I didn't even know there was prize money. As many home run derbies as I've been to, I didn't know there was prize money for the players. They've increased that to $2.5 million, and the winner gets $1 million. So maybe, you know, they're looking to get more of their high-profile players in there, like, you know, Bryce Harper won it last year in Washington.
Yeah, well, that said, if the prize money is $1 million and the home run derby is taking place in Cleveland this year, does Jose Ramirez, you know, throw his name in the ring for that?
Oh, yeah, I think he definitely will. I think he will. I think he wanted to last year. It sounded like they kind of talked him out of it so he didn't screw up his swing. And
that sort of backfired, didn't it?
Yeah. So I think I would not be surprised to see him or Lindor in there. Even though Lindor doesn't consider himself a home run hitter. So
no, Lindor's not a home run hitter. Come on, he'll tell you that 10 times before the end of the So we talked about the roster expansion, 25 to 26, 27th player for doubleheaders.
Yeah, that's – I like that. You know, I think that's – like you were saying, that's a good an exchange for the players. You know, I think so next season they open the year with 26 players instead of 25. And – you know, they had always been able, or for the last few years, they'd been able to add that 26 guy for a doubleheader. Now they've got a 27-man roster. So Tony Amato is going to have to – he's going to be busy, man. He's going to have to get some new uniforms, new lockers. They're going to have to rebuild redistribute some of that space in the locker room.
Oh, come on. You're talking like he's overworked or something. Amato's overworked. Yeah, we need to hear that. The rules and the changes about the pitcher position and designating a two-way player. Also, we can probably call that the Shohei Ohtani rule, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, they obviously don't want position players pitching, huh? I mean, is that Is that
well? And there's a provision in there. If the team is down by 6 runs, you can put a position player in there to pitch. But again, that would be the Michael Martinez rule.
Yeah, I mean, is this like if Babe Ruth was playing now, would he be a two-way player? I don't know.
He would have to pitch 20 innings in the big leagues and what was it? 20 innings in the big leagues and 20 games started as a position player or designated hitter in the big leagues. So
I guess
he could be as long 20 innings isn't that much to get. I mean, you can get that in a few outings, but I mean, holy cow. About Babe Ruth.
So I'm wondering. I mean, was baseball that turned off by having a position player pitch? Maybe.
Well, no. I think this is sort of to those provisions were put in there to sort of protect Ohtani and keep him as you know. This is something that we want. Okay. We want to see a man of this kind of talent. But if you're going to limit the number, the reason they had to go in there was because. If you're going to limit the number of pitchers you have on a 26-man roster, and that's what they're talking about is setting the number of pitchers you're allowed to carry at either 13 or maybe 12. I don't think they go as high as 14. But if you're going to do that, then you have to specify which players are pitchers and which are position players. So that's why the two-way player designation has to be in there because otherwise you would make Ohtani have to choose. Pitcher or position player, and they don't want to do that. They definitely want him to be a guy who can do both. Let's see the some of these are just insane, and the language on them is crazy. But
then the one you know everybody was you know they kind of cracked down on the pitchers have to be on the DL for 15 days now. And if you go down, you got to stay down for 15 days if you're a pitcher. You know, they were playing so many games there, you know, that they DL a guy and he'd be back, you know, he'd maybe miss one start or, you know, so it wasn't, you know, I'm sure that's what that's all about. But, I mean, they could have stopped this by just keeping, you know, the DL at 15 days for position players and pitchers. I mean, they just changed that. I think 2 years ago.
Right. And hey, Hoynesy, don't sound archaic and don't be outdated. It's not the disabled list anymore. They've changed the name to the injured list so that
the injured list,
We're an inclusive society. And I guess I kind of agree with this change. I mean, there's no reason to call it the disabled list if there's a group of people who would be. You know, upset about it being called a disabled list. You can call it the injured list, and it's not a big deal.
Okay.
It's the only league in North America that has a disabled list as opposed to an injured list. You know, the NFL and the NBA don't have disabled lists. They have they call their lists other things. So.
Injured list. I did not notice.
Yeah. That. So we have to make the only people who are going to be upset by this are the writers who you know write it the wrong way and then get called out on it. So
yeah.
You know,
I got to remember that.
We got to make the adjustment. We got to make the mental adjustment every time. Now it's you know Andrew Miller will now spend 3 stints on the injured list, not the disabled.
Okay.
So. We can pre-write our stories about Andrew Miller coming off the injured list. Oh, wait, we don't have to do that anymore. Speaking of the injured list and speaking of and getting away from these ridiculous rule changes that are going to make our heads explode all season, you know, we mentioned the injury that's out there, Francisco Lindor, his calf injury, his right calf strain that has kept him on the sidelines watching spring training to this point. Yesterday, Frankie got in there and took some swings and actually played in a controlled minor league game. You've been around spring training long enough. You've seen a million games on the backfield. Hoynesy, what's a controlled minor league game?
I just think they don't want him, like, you know, hitting the ball to the fence and diving headfirst into second base, sprinting. You know, I think it's just to, you know, make sure he doesn't, you know, try to – you know, make a stop in the hole at shortstop and then do a Jeter jump throw to first base. I think they just want to, you know, kind of keep him under wraps but let him, you know, kind of run around a little bit. let him jog to first base and, you know, just kind of get the feel for it. I mean, I remember, you know, I think Francona said March 20th is going to be a key date for Lindor to see just where he's at. And he seems to be, you know, really making progress, Joe, to you know, meet that and maybe be ready for opening day. I guess, like we've talked about before, I guess the question would be weather. You know, if it's 25 degrees in Minneapolis, do you run him out there for opening day?
Right. And it's something, you know, struck me when Tito was first talking about Frankie's injury early in camp. He said, we're not going to, you know, bring him back and have him be limited or anything like that. Once he's back, he's going to be full go and, you know, fully healthy, and they want to be able to extend him into the regular season and hopefully play without any sort of setbacks at any point. So, yeah, just to see him making that progress. He played in another controlled minor league game today on Thursday. That was the plan, at least. And Bradley Zimmer, also recovering from shoulder surgery, batted designated hitter in yesterday's game. So he's ahead of schedule as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, I still think, you know, Lindor's going to get back into the lineup one way or the other before Zimmer does. I think just from listening to what Francona has said, you know, they feel Zimmer still needs recovery time. They still have to monitor that, you know, because he had surgery last July. So they're going to watch that. But with Lindor, you know, I'm willing to bet he could, if this was the postseason, he'd be playing right now. I would think. I just got that feeling that he's really, really close and that there's a chance that there's a good chance he'll be out there for opening day.
Well, and just the last bit of injury news, Jason Kipnis today scratched from the lineup. He was scheduled to play against the Rockies, but he is feeling some right calf tightness as well. What is it with the Indians and their calves? I don't get this. You got Lonnie Chisenhall, who couldn't seem to get his issues corrected last year, Lindor this year, and now Kipnis scratched with a tight calf. He said that if it were regular season, he'd just play through it and he'd be out there. But with it being spring training, there's no sense in pushing it, and he's going to lay low for a minute or two. That can't be good for anybody in the Tribe clubhouse to hear.
With Lindor, you mean,
or with Kipnis?
You know, I know he had some kind of flexor or some kind of
hip flexor earlier. It was like a quad/hip flexor quad. Earlier.
So in I don't know if this is related to it. You know, I think
on the plus side, when he's been out there in spring training, he's hit the ball.
Yeah, so he swung the bat pretty well. You know, he had it's 5-for-5 to start spring or something like that. But so I think it's a concern, but you know. Right now, maybe they're just being cautious. So I think they're just, you know, just being cautious. Maybe I'm still not sure what happened to Chisenhall. He got it. One calf went bad, then the other calf went bad. I've got to check to see how he's doing in Pittsburgh this spring. If he's playing every day or if he's getting regular playing time.
He skipped too many leg days in the gym. He skipped too many leg days. It's not good. All right. Hoynsey, the Indians are, as we're recording this, the Indians are taking on Colorado right now. Shane Bieber on the mound. Bieber has worked on his changeup in the offseason. He's come out and really he's been just lights out in his previous three outings. This is his fourth start today. What's your estimation of, you know, his ceiling, his potential this year as we wrap it up today?
Yeah, I you know, Joe, I think he might be the best fifth starter in the division and maybe even in the American League. I mean, this guy, you know, looks, he won 11 games last year, you know, still got a high ERA, still gets hit, you know, still, you know, especially against lefties, but I think this guy's very, very good, man. And, You know, he has such great control of the strike zone, doesn't walk anybody. He gives up hits, but he's not going to – I don't think he's going to get really burned, you know, too many times just because there's nobody else on base. He doesn't put anybody else on base. That's got to help him. And he's still – you know, this is his first full spring training with the big league club, so he's got to benefit from this. I think, you know, you look at this – you look at, you know, Kluber and Bauer and Carrasco and Clevinger. They add Bieber. You know, Bieber comes up to the pipeline. Then is Tristan McKenzie. I know he's kind of down for about 6 weeks with that strained back. But he's probably the next guy in line. You know, so the pitchers keep coming up, and that's a good sign. But Bieber, I think he, you know, I think, you know, he's going to be a solid, maybe number two, number three starter. He might be better than that.
All right. Yeah, he definitely has the potential, and especially if everything they're saying about his work ethic and the way he goes about off the field stuff sounds a lot like Kluber, and sounds a lot like somebody who could really, you know, sort of cement himself in the Indians rotation for years to come. All right. Paul, we're winding down here. We've covered a lot of ground. We've gone from the wacky and the surreal to the injuries and the hopeful you know, projections for pitching. And it's close. We're 2 weeks away. You're getting ready to head out there again and wrap up the Cactus League. What are your feelings right now on just being that close?
Yeah, I'm nervous, Joe. I'm so – I'm programmed, like, for years, you know, just to spend the whole winter, the whole, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it was, in spring training. Mm-hmm. And this is a new thing, you know, go out early, then come home and, you know, watch the games and listen to the games on radio or MLB.com. And then go back out there. So I got that. I don't know. You know, you just I have a I'm a, I'm nervous. I'm a little. I'm excited to get back out there to see the team. But you know, you always have that little dread. I guess I don't know.
Man, what do you got to be nervous about? You think you're going to walk in that facility and they're not going to know who you are? Come on.
I just get nervous. I just, you know, so I hopefully we'll get back out there and everything will go well and, you know, just get going. I'm anxious for the season to get going. See, just, you know, Bobby DiBiase always had, he had three phases of spring training. You can't wait to get there. You can't wait for the exhibition games to start. And you can't wait to get out. So I've kind of passed the first two, I guess. And now when I go out there, I'll be wanting to stay. You know, so I'm not sure. My equilibrium, as usual, is messed up.
All right. Well, next time we talk to you, Hoynsie, you'll be in Goodyear. We'll look forward to hearing from you next week. And until then, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Joe.